Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 12th of October, 2021. I am joined by Harry.
Hello there.
And today we're going to be talking about getting HIV for the good of diversity, Western comics are dying, and also Indigenous Peoples Day. Hurrah. Very inclusive. Anyway, I suppose first we should have you, as I put it earlier, explain yourself.
Explain myself.
How did you end up here?
Well, I mean, what specifically? I mean, I came from a university background of television and radio, which is not the most useful degree for practical society, shall we say. But since the beginning of the lockdown, I'd been noticing a lot of things. I'd always been sort of against a lot of woke culture, a lot of the leftism that had been quite pervasive throughout society over the past few years. And then earlier on this year, I discovered like Jordan Peterson and stuff like that, started to try and apply that to my own life, and then started just reading more. And when you read more, you learn more, you're able to understand more. And that just led me to where I am now.
Radicalized by Jordan Peterson.
Exactly. Confirmed. Alt-right pipeline confirmed.
Anyway, so let's get started on the stuff on the website first, and then we'll get into the story. So first thing to mention here is the new video on the website, which I did, which is a direct video about political parties explained. So fundamentals of, I was looking at here as an example, the Conservative and the Labour Party, yep, and the rules of the parties themselves, which I think dictate why they are as they are structurally. So regardless of which faction's in charge or all the rest of it, why is it that the Conservative Party always betrays its own members? Well, it's because the members don't really have any means of punishing them for it. And why is the Labour Party full of infighting? Because the rules mean that there is endless debates about everything ever. So
yes,
that is my theory on it anyway.
And you do see that with the conferences where it's just people getting up to yell at the person who was on before and then yell at the audience.
Yeah, and then yelling back, it's yeah, a mess. Whereas the Conservative Party is very leader dominated. So that's a theory. Anyway, go and check that out. Tell me if you think I'm completely wrong or not. Anyway, so that's that. If we go to the next thing, we have the article from Hugo. So Hugo sent this in. So this is "Don't Fall for the Pandora Papers Outrage," with the audio from Jonathan Crowe for the silver and gold tier members. So this is about the papers that came out about the elite, rich, corrupt people doing elite, rich, corrupt things, and then the outrage about this.
Who'd have seen that coming, right?
Yeah, but everyone already knows that the elite are corrupt, so it's not really effective being outraged about it.
Elites being elites.
Yeah. Including Tony Blair there. Anyway, so go and give that a listen or a read, depending on your preference. And if we go to the next one here, we have the next intervention, which is the Epoch. So this is Carl and Beau talking about, I think, what is this? The Battle of Poitiers or whatever? Some French word. Don't have to care. Didn't end up winning the Hundred Years' War, yeah, by taking the crown. I should say he's going to shout at me now. No, so I think we won it, but the guy ended up dying too soon for us to inherit the crown of France, and therefore we lost the land.
Imagine how different things could have been.
Yeah. World could be so much a better place if we were all France. But anyway, so this is why England kept winning, which is a battle in which the French are so incompetent they even lose with all the advantages. So go and give that a listen. That's also premium, so sign up to the website for that one. Anyway, let's get right now. I gotta stop making the Keemstar references.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, I need a better intro. There's something unique.
I don't know. Go on. We're supposed to be creative people.
Yeah, I'll think of something. Ooh. Anyway.
That's for tomorrow.
Recommendations in the chat.
Yes.
Anyway, so get HIV for the good of diversity, which is something I never thought I'd say. But this is a reference, of course, to, as you might remember, Naz Shah, who likes and retweeted a tweet from a parody account saying that the grooming victims should shut their mouths for the good of diversity. And yeah, so that's the Labour Party for you. She was put in charge of women's inequalities after that, which is telling. But anyway, we now have the Conservative version, which is get HIV for the good of diversity. So if we can go to the next one, if we scroll up on this, a tweet from Savid Javid, the health secretary. "Today, I'm making blood donation more inclusive by removing the question on sexual activity in sub-Saharan Africa asked in the donor safety check. This will reduce health disparities and save lives as more people will be able to donate." Right.
Slightly doubtful of that. I don't know where they're getting the save lives part from.
The idea that you'll get more blood, but we'll get into that in a minute. I just want to scroll down and see the commenter here because I had to include him. "Oh, wow. Congrats. Amazing. Now to finally have inclusivity over safety. Pathogen diversity is our strength." Love it. Oh, sorry. Just a very good put there. Anyway, so let's go to the article itself. As you can see, that got ratioed. So what is his argument for why you should get HIV for the good of diversity?
Must be a strong argument.
Yeah. So here, Answers in here. Blood donation to become more inclusive. A question on sexual activity of partners in areas where HIV is widespread, including sub-Saharan Africa, will be removed from the donor safety check form. So currently, you're asked if you've had sexual relations with someone from a HIV hotspot, as is...
That sounds perfectly fine to me.
Yeah, and they've decided that they're not going to do that anymore because inclusion. Right.
These people get far too offended.
Mm. They write in the bullet points, change is based on the recommendation following the latest scientific evidence. I believe that. Changes will have no impact on the safety of blood donated in the UK and will allow more people to make life-saving donations. And they give us the current system. Currently, prospective donors are asked if they have recently had sex with a partner who may ever have been sexually active in an area where HIV is endemic, which includes most of sub-Saharan Africa. If they have, the donor will be deferred for 3 months from their last sexual contact with that partner. And then after the 3 months, presumably, they can then come back and have a check or something like that. And that seems perfectly reasonable, but no, that's bigoted because...
Of course it is.
Brown people most affected. Okay. Yep. So he continues. People who are Black African, Black Caribbean, and of Black mixed ethnicity are more likely to have a rare blood subgroup such as RO. I don't know anything about blood, so I'll just assume, yes, that many Black sickle cell patients also need. Other questions remain on the donor form to ensure individual high-risk behaviors, including recent travel to countries with HIV, where it is endemic, are picked up by those donors and then deferred from donation. So that's the bit I find interesting. That there's the claim that this is scientifically fine because we're going to check the blood anyway. Right. So if someone's travelled to a HIV hotspot,
yep,
they can't donate. They have to be deferred 3 months. But if someone's had sex from someone with that hotspot, then no. The risk is not reasonable.
These things aren't transmitted by sex, Callum.
I just can't go over his, like, yes, the scientific evidence shows having sex with someone from a HIV hotspot is fine, but travelling to it, that's not fine.
And there's never been any historical pandemics related to HIV,
no,
as far as I'm aware, sexually transmitted or otherwise.
Especially through the needle sharings of blood transfusions or all the rest of it, China, Russia, anyway. Yep. So, obvious nonsense by the riddle there. I mean, how is it that travelling to a HIV hotspot is risky enough for you not to give blood, but having sex from someone with a HIV hotspot is not?
Maybe they're taking the COVID approach with it.
Mm.
If it's passed through the air, then definitely. Needles!
Yeah, but also the fact that he's like, yes, for diversity, comrade. Anyway, in June, further progress towards greater equality was made through the landmark change to blood donation by lifting a ban on deferral of men who had had sex with men in the last 3 months. So again, for the sake of equality, if you have had homosexual sex and you're a male, even though you're more likely to have HIV, don't care. Just going to go ahead anyway, because equality. Righty-o. Thanks.
I suppose the more people have it, the more inclusive it is.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, Chad, yes, from Savage Javid over there.
Exactly.
Anyway, so there's him. If we go to the next one here, the Conservatives are also being very conservative elsewhere, of course. So this is, I can't remember how you say his name, Nadeem Sahawi. So not enough blackhead teachers in England, says Nadeem Sahawi. Right, so more equality of outcome doctrine here by the Conservatives. Fantastic. He says in here, I'd go further, and sorry, he says, school leadership is not representative when it comes to race. And as you say, there aren't enough black head teachers. I'd go further and say there aren't enough black leaders in the civil service and higher echelons of departments across government. And we need to do better there as well. I really do think it's critical that teaching is an inclusive profession. Schools and their leadership teams should reflect the communities and their pupils. Why?
I mean, these just seem also like such vague blanket statements. It's like, well, there's always the question of how many people are applying, how suitable are these applicants? And he's just saying, nope, just blanket statement. We just need more.
The skill of the person is not important.
Nope.
It means that there is X percentage of group characteristic A, therefore they should be X percentage.
We need them
of
to
the
match.
Profession.
Yeah.
It is completely illogical
or
and
exceed
all the rest of it.
Often exceed.
I love Jordan Peterson on this. So, you know, he's talked about this before. He's like, well, how many group characteristics are you going to measure this across? Are you going to do it for height? Are you going to do it for hair color? Are you going to do it for beards? Like, no. No one ever cares about
this. No, of course
things.
Not.
It's absurdist. But also, what happens when the equality of outcome doctrine harms the diverse citizens? Because remember, there are citizens who have rights and should be treated that way. And then there are the diverse citizens who are going to be given preferential treatment.
We definitely need to segregate these two factions.
Yes, but also that the diverse citizens are going to be given preferential treatment, according to Sahawi. Well, turns out we have a story out of Japan, which goes into what is going to happen and has happened in the UK, but is happening in much starker contrast here. So here's Vice News reporting, someone who would not want to report the failures of equality of outcome doctrine. A rule meant to ensure gender equality is keeping girls out of classrooms.
Whoops.
Oopsie daisies. Who could have seen this coming? Anyway, so, quote here, following the long history of gender segregation at schools and women learning far less academically than their male peers, many Tokyo public schools after World War II implemented a rule to change classrooms and make them equal. 50% women, 50% men. As in, the students
yes.
had to be 50% women, 50% men, because not enough women.
Fair.
And now there are too many women. So the women are getting denied access to the classroom. And instead, they're letting in men with lower test scores.
This isn't what we meant.
Mm. What's going to happen with those black teachers, Mr. Sahawi? What happens then? What happens when they start getting discriminated against as well?
Well, if they exceed, we'll just fire them.
Yes.
Fire the excess.
I'm a progressive. Exactly. I fire black people for a living because there's too many of them. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here we go. At first, it worked. Women studied alongside men, took more science and math classes without, math classes instead of sewing lessons, and imagined a future for themselves beyond the kitchen. Possibilities denied to girls under an imperial Japan that maintained strict gender roles. The girls started to score higher than boys on admission tests. So much so, in fact, that schools in recent years have had to fail more girls to maintain equal gender splits. They're failing the girls, even though they're performing very well, because that's too many women. So you just don't pass, love.
Taking the Bernie Sanders approach.
Yes.
The Japanese people are tired of women.
Anyway, so there's another quote in here that I find amazing. The Tokyo public school system doesn't want too many female students. Okay. Very progressive. Mm-hmm. So they're consciously making the passing score higher for girls than boys. Yasuko Sasa, who was part of the group of lawyers calling for an end to this policy. Oh, no. Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? So whilst it was privileging girls, and you can argue from Imperial Japan, there may be a push to get more girls in, but that doesn't justify an equality of outcome doctrine to do it. It's mm-hmm. a socialist value. And it was a privilege to girls up until it's not now, and therefore it has to go.
It's so progressive, it's returning to tradition.
Yes. Literally male privilege. But that's not allowed. But the female privilege that was taking place before, absolutely halal. Mm-hmm. So gender should have nothing to do with high school entrance exams, but it's now a significant factor in whether a student is admitted, she said. Part of the hesitancy in immediately abolishing the gender quota came from some school administrators, worry that female students would overwhelm the schools and therefore jeopardizing boys' education.
Okay, so gender should have nothing to do with the entrance exams, but also it should have everything to do with gender entrance exams.
I love how the argument has flipped, though. It's now, well, think of the poor boys. They're underperforming. We need this quota to keep them in the classroom.
Yep.
Yeah, but you see this again with, as I mentioned, with Sahawi's case, which is I think it was Trevor Phillips arguing that the white boys who are underperforming in education,
yep.
Careers, all the rest of it, as the race report showed, well, now we need positive discrimination for them. And it's like, Trevor, how did we get into this mess?
Yes.
Dum-dum.
Maybe we don't need to discriminate in any way, yeah. positive or negative.
Maybe equality of outcomes a load of bunk, and mm-hmm. we shouldn't have done this, but...
Well, meritocracy is racist, don't you know?
Yeah. So then you get Sahawi there and Savage Javid insisting on outcome for HIV and also black teachers. Anyway, I did see a story. I don't think I included it, which is that GB News published a report recently that some group of black academics have got together and said that, no, we found the institutional racism the government couldn't find. I was like, oh, what is it? So I clicked on the article and it says that despite... the fact that black people make up 3.4% of the UK population, they make up 3.5% of the academics.
Yes, I saw this as well earlier.
Sorry, professors.
Yeah, professors.
So
yeah.
3.4% of the population, but 3.5% of professors.
So congratulations, job done. You've exceeded.
But therefore discrimination against black people. It's like, what do you mean against? We literally now have to fire 0.1% of the professors for being black, according to your logic. Okay. I love John, as I mentioned before, his 100% diversity quote, which
oh, yeah.
is, that's what the aim is. we need 100% diversity.
I mean, they don't state it out loud per se, but in all practicality, that is what they're going for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on from that. So I thought I'd mention some other stuff that I just found particularly funny. So let's go through this. So this is a Police Scotland verified checkmark, because Scotland is the insane asylum of the world at this point for progressivism. So you can see in here, they list, if you have been targeted because of your disability, race, religion, sexual orientation, or transgender identity, or are you aware of someone who's being targeted, you may want to report it. And a lot of people didn't like this. I wonder if you can guess why. I'm just looking through those different characteristics. Mm. What's missing? Sex.
Mm.
If you're discriminated against your sex, that's A-OK, according to Police Scotland now, because they've dropped it from the list.
Well, I mean, if you were going to call anyone out on that, you're turf.
Yes, but exactly. Also that you could discriminate on sex, that's absolutely fine. Also, transgender identity. That's not in the Equality Act.
Not that I'm aware of.
It's not there. So if we go to the next one, I think we have the legislation itself. So this is the Equality Act 2010, and as you can see, the protected characteristics listed. They miss out age, sex, pregnancy and maternity, marriage and civil partnerships, because who cares about them? But also they changed gender reassignment to transgender identity. So, I mean, the police literally changing the law before your eyes as applied.
Well, I mean, that just goes with this whole transition, so to speak, from it being, well, yes, you need the mental illness, you need to have the full surgery, you need to have everything to go along with it, to just say it, bro.
I mean, I believe, yes. Therefore, I mean, the gender reassignment being you're actually undertaking this and not just because
I believe
anyway.
It's not a trend, mum.
Found that funny, but I thought we'd also give the Conservatives a very, very small clap, because they only deserve the smallest of claps for this, and you'll get why. So this is Guido Fawkes reporting. Government's quiet rule change doubles down against ultra-woke LGBTQIBLMA+ flag. I love how they added just all the letters. Oh, you got BLM in there as well. So here's the story. Back in June last year, Guido noted that specific permission is only given for public buildings to fly, quote, the horizontal striped rainbow flag, such as the Pride flag, and any other variations is theoretically outside of the law. Following a bout of woke councils and government departments beginning to fly the super woke LGBTI BLMA+ flag, we're going to run out of
letters. Take a breath.
Robert Jenrick has clearly had enough. An SW1 source at the time came out of conference to a nod at Guido in the direction of interest of the amendment, quietly made by the former local government secretary in July, changing the wording of the government's rules to overtly specify, quote, the rainbow flag, open brackets, six horizontal equal stripes of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet. Those are the one you're allowed to fly, not allowed to fly, the racial pride flag with the, I don't know, what do you call it? Phalanx coming in there?
Yes.
Moving the original flag to the corners, and also the black and brown stripes being segregated, because black and brown people deserve to be segregated, because that's progressivism for you. Righty-o. Anyway, so they also say in here, any civil servant who knowingly broke this law can also lose their pensions forever, which is fantastic. I mean, the bare minimum here. But I also love that it's literally the meme. The conservative pride flag. Like, the conservatives are literally claiming the conservative pride flag, as in, I'm the conservative, don't worry, I don't use the racial pride flag, I use the normal pride flag.
Yeah, at this point, any meme, just wait 6 months and it'll be fact. Mm. Like, South Park is all becoming reality at this point.
Yeah, and as one guy noted, damn, they hit us 3 years early, because if you can look at this one, you've got reject modernity, racial pride flag, return to tradition, traditional pride flag. Conservatives in 2024. Yep, no, 2021, that's how long it took. We now have officially sanctioned pride flags. Fantastic. Anyway, so that's pretty much all I wanted to say on that. Just the continuing fall of the West by equality of outcome doctrine. Although this time on the basis that you should get HIV for the good of diversity. Because, it doesn't matter if you had sex with a person from that area, only if you've been to that area. Rightio. And also the fact that the police do not give a toss. Yeah.
I guess that's just the way it's going at the moment.
Yes.
Sadly.
But at least we've got the conservative pride flag, my friend.
Yes. We one step forward.
Much conservatism.
14 anyway. Steps back, one step forward. Yes. We'll get there eventually. Right, so moving on. Western comics are dying, and at this point it seems that all of the wounds are self-inflicted.
So I'm not very familiar with the comics industry, so you're going to have to guide me through this.
I'll do my best. And anyone out there who's unfamiliar, I'll try and fill in some of the details. So it has been recently announced that Superman is now bisexual, because that's what everybody who's interested in comic books was looking forward to.
That was the essential characteristic of Superman, wasn't it? The fact he was straight.
Exactly. Nobody reads them for the exciting fights or anything like that. So, in this Guardian article that we've got up here, you can see DC Comics reveals latest Superman as bisexual in a new issue. It must be made to point out that those of you familiar with Clark Kent as Superman, it's no longer Clark Kent, or at least in this particular issue or whatever. It's a new series called Superman Son of Kal-El, which sounds like a replacement sort of series. So it's his son, Jonathan Kent, who is bisexual. It says here, the traditionally heterosexual superhero will embark on a same-sex relationship with a friend in a new comic. Kent, who is the son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane, started his tenure in July. I must say, I am at least glad that it isn't a reveal of Clark Kent, the original Superman, as being bisexual, because at this point I wouldn't put it past them, given that it would kind of be destroying the sanctity, that you could say, of the long-standing relationship that he's had with Lois Lane, which has kind of been just set in stone for the past 80 years or so. But for all intents and purposes, this new Jonathan Kent appears to just be him, but younger, as I said, itching for a replacement. And it says here that his new love interest is Jay Nakamura, a reporter who cares for him after he mentally and physically burns out from trying to save everyone that he can. He needs to pick up all of that emotional labor that Superman can't carry.
Right.
Yes.
Can he be a superhero?
Yeah, he is supposed to be a superhero, but apparently that he just can't deal with it right now, man.
Yeah.
I would save that bus full of children, but man, I'm just so burnt out. And the writer for it, a man called, let me see here, where is it? Tom Taylor has said that I've always said everyone needs heroes, and everyone deserves to see themselves in their heroes. And I'm very grateful DC and Warner Brothers share this idea, said Taylor in a statement. Superman's symbol has always stood for hope, truth, and justice. Today, that symbol represents something more.
I mean, literally. I mean, I'm sure you're aware, I called it a video called The Progressive Skin Suit.
It is absolutely just popping that skin suit on.
Like all these symbols, you know how they used to stand for the thing that's the main part of the franchise? No, not anymore. They stand for my new things.
Yes. Today, more people can see themselves in the most powerful superhero in comics. I mean, the contention that I would bring up is that this is just completely rejecting universalism. Like, anybody can just pick up a Superman comic and go like, wow, and imagine yourself in that position. But no, you need to have all of the immutable characteristics of whatever character you're reading as to be able to identify with them.
Yeah.
It's completely...
I mean, if the main character isn't you, then you can't identify with the story. I mean, that's the argument, fundamentally.
Yes.
Because why just stop at race? Why not stop with every other difference?
At which point, why would you even read comic books? Why not just write fan fiction about yourself or just stare in a mirror?
I mean, that's what these people used to do before they got into mainstream.
And that is basically what they are doing now, to be fair. But I mean, it was even the case where previously Superman had a comic book called Truth, Justice, and the American Way. And I bet they don't have anything to say about the American Way nowadays.
The American race, white supremacy, so...
Yeah, but it, at the end of the day, this is basically just a complete publicity grab, just trying to go for virtue signaling points. I mean...
Well, I think it's also another destruction of a property.
It is absolutely a subversion, skin suits, destruction, as you say. But comic books have a long line of going for these sorts of attention-grabbing headline events, whereas back in the 80s and the 90s, and basically up until about 10 years ago, there would be a big shiny red button that says kill major character. Like Wolverine, I think the last one it happened to in the comic books was a few years ago, back in 2013. It's like, Wolverine has died. He's alive again now because comic books, and that's just how it works. But now they've replaced that button with a shiny new red button. That's,
make it queer.
Yes, gay. The gay button. Yeah. I mean, they've done it to...
I just love the idea that like J.K. Rowling's got like five of them, just bashing each one.
Yep. But they did it with Iceman from the X-Men comic books. They made him bisexual.
Seriously?
Yes, they made...
I thought that was a joke from Family Guy.
No, they made Iceman bisexual. In the article here, you can see as well that I think Tim Drake, who was the latest Robin, is bisexual now, and now they're going to be passing Captain America onto the mantle onto a gay character, because why create new characters when you can just co-opt these characters?
When you could just hit the gay button.
Yes, exactly. Hit that big red gay button. It's so tempting. But this is overall, as you can probably tell from the other examples, just reflective of a wider trend in the Western comics industry of trampling all over everything that came before it. There's no true innovation in terms of new characters apart from new characters called things like, what was it? Snowflake and Safe Space that was introduced into the Marvel Universe. That's the level of creativity that we're talking currently. But on this next article, you can see here, Kelly Sue DeConnick, who was a writer for Captain Marvel, I'm not aware if she is, again, you might be able to blame her for that awful Captain Marvel film that came out a few years ago that was just feminist trash, because she was like a very overtly feminist writer of the comic book. This is the sort of attitude that they have towards the fans when she's stating here in this article, I'm sorry to break this to you, but Captain America is a social justice warrior.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, individual justice warrior.
I'm pretty sure Captain America served in the army in the 1940s, fighting against those who you could potentially, from a particular side, describe as social justice warriors of their own kind.
Like, they would argue themselves along those lines. I mean, justice for my social group, not for the individual citizen. I mean, the Germans, as the social group, as Hitler's socialism...
It was national.
Yes, but the Hitler socialism video that Tick did will explain, if people have got time, is that, well, that's how he viewed the group. Like, he replaced the class with the German race, and therefore social justice, in his mind, was justice for the German people. And, it's not justice, is it? It's social justice.
No, I mean, it also all comes back to, in the end, I believe Marx also had essays like On the Jewish Question. It all wraps right back around.
Yeah. Don't want to talk about Marx and his opinions on races.
But anyway, a quote from this article says, she says, Captain America stands up for what I think we wish this country was. The ideals we've always stood for, but not always acted on. Which is just a plain assertion.
Never stood for any of this.
Captain America should stand for what I want him to stand as, not what he has historically represented.
Yes, he should not stand for being American or Americanisms.
No. Well, that's offensive. That's very offensive. But she also said here, DeConnick had another message for her haters. If you don't like my politics, don't buy my book. Problem solved. Excellent consumer advice right there.
Chad, yes.
Yep.
And I'm thinking of Xbox. Like, you remember when the Xbox One came out? He was like, if you don't like our product, just don't buy it. And I was like,
oh, right. Fair play. And then PS4s skyrocketed. Yeah. If you skip to the next article on here, you can see here that she immediately regretted telling people not to buy her books when this interview from 2019 came out, and DeConnick and her husband, Matt Fraction, who's also a comic book writer for Marvel and independent comics, were asked, did you think comics would be this sort of phenomenon that it is currently? DeConnick answered, boy, that's hard, because from our perspective, the industry is contracted and we're very worried about comics right now. So it's always interesting to me that the outside perspective is always comics are booming. DeConnick would then lay out just how bad of a shape the comic book industry is in. I think I tend to be pretty optimistic, but in this one, I'm worried. I'm straight worried. When asked why, because stores are closing at a phenomenal rate. Independent comic sales are down. Mainstream comic sales are down, except the top three or five books are up. Everything in the mid-list is way down. Do you think there could be any reason for that she's maybe not examining there?
Like, I'm writing intersectional comics, no one's buying them.
I'm writing something that people just don't want to buy, maybe. And in doing so, she is actively hurting the industry and actively hurting the independent businesses. Like she said, comic book stores are closing quite frequently. And it's not because the comic book stores themselves are really doing anything wrong. It's what they're putting on their shelves. And just to show as well how much they are being absolutely demolished at the moment, manga, if you skip to the next one, a single manga, Demon Slayer, which I believe is very popular at the moment because of the Netflix series. Earlier on this year, Demon Slayer had sold 100 million copies, while American comic books altogether had only sold 15 million units. So we're talking orders of magnitude where one single manga, one single comic, can outstrip the entire American industry. And Baron, this article points out that keep in mind that they are also counting manga that is being sold in America. So in that 15 million is probably a few million Demon Slayer right there. So we are just, Western comics are just getting absolutely destroyed at the moment. Which, for anybody out there who might have enjoyed them in the past, or, you know, because of the big boom that is, that is going on at the moment with the comic movies industry, might be interested. Just, it's quite sad to see. But just read manga. It's a lot better.
Oh, God. I mean, there's going to be some video commenters who agree with you, and I don't want to listen to it.
No. It is better. I don't read much of it myself, but I do think it does tap into something that most American and Western comic books don't anymore, which is that sense of it doesn't pander to the intersectionalists.
Right.
And it also, they have women who are still sexy, men who are still manly. It's all ridiculous and Japanese, of course, but it is trying to tell interesting stories rather than just push narratives.
As if He-Man was very realistic.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But as a result of all of the issues that have been going on with the Western comics world, it did a few years ago spark a movement called Comicsgate, where professional comic artists and writers left the mainstream companies, mainly DC and Marvel, and started their own independent titles, which they used Indiegogo and Kickstarter and other such places to fund. And as you can imagine from these types of people who are infesting the industry, the mainstream professional industry was not particularly pleased with this development, and they pretty much love that the industry is wrapped around their little finger and they can just do whatever they want, and they want to keep it that way. And everyone knows if you've got a monopoly, you don't want any sort of competition. And if you skip to this next article here, so one of the particular industry people who has attached themselves to Comicsgate, John, he's Hispanic, so apologies if I mispronounce his name. John De La Rose was banned a few years ago from Worldcon Science Fiction Convention as a result of his political beliefs, because they are just trying to actively push out people from that sector. So he's a comics writer and sci-fi author, and Worldcon is a sci-fi convention held by the San Francisco Science Fiction Conventions Company. So being held in San Francisco, you can imagine the sort of people it attracts. And the article says that in August 2017, De La Rose was in talks with the convention chair, Kevin Roche, about renting a table to sell his books at the event. Roche did not mention any concern at the time about De La Rose, and he didn't seem hesitant to take his money. But by November, De La Rose had noted to Roche that he'd been receiving lots of threats over his political beliefs and his outspoken nature on Twitter, and had been receiving targeted harassment against his family in his home, including receiving a spring-loaded package of glitter shaped like penises, which... which is very childish, but in that split second when a spring-loaded package is going off in your children's face,
yeah,
it's not going to feel like a funny joke, is it? And when he was told about all this, the organizer, the chair, had Roche, air silence, didn't respond to him. So De La Rose stated that what he was going to do to try and secure his safety, because he'd asked them, you know, will I be able to get an escort or anything like that? Will there be adequate security on the premises? They stated, and he didn't get a response. He said that he was going to be going to Worldcon with a body cam. And when he told this to Worldcon, they just banned him from the event. But in doing so, they released a statement on Facebook, which stated that they didn't want to have him on because he had... violated their rules, and they didn't want to encourage racist and bullying behavior at Worldcon. Do you notice anything in his behavior that may not line up with what they've stated there?
Sorry, wearing cameras is racist and bullying now?
Apparently so.
Right.
So he decided to actually try and give it a go at saying, well, I'm not racist, this is defamation. Putting it out there publicly, given that he's a sci-fi author who tries...
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, you know.
See the bosses.
But the reason that they did this, from what I can see, if you skip to this next article I've got here, this guy, Jim Hines, who appears to be very much in the anti-De La Rose camp right here, basically points out a number of times that he has been trolling and harassing people, which basically means that he just trolls leftists. essentially, when a sci-fi author called John Scalzi posted a tweet about both sides of the political spectrum not being equally bad, and if you think that, you're an effing idiot, of course, pointing to, like, well, all those right-wingers, they're all evil. Della Roz basically gave a based no you and said, you're right. You're right. They're not both equally bad, because your side and your cohorts defend pedophiles and destroy anything precious in Western civilization.
Very based. Yes, very based.
Immensely based. And it's not like...
I mean, just add on the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, and CCP are also your fault, but...
Exactly. Anyway. And even within sci-fi fiction itself, this can be backed up quite easily by the fact that there was a legendary, feminist sci-fi author called Marion Zimmer Bradley, who, after she died, her children came out and were like, yeah, she molested us, which is pretty awful. And she was a legend in the industry. So... of course, you had people celebrating this. If you go to the next one, you can see Book Riot, a leftist publication, saying that this hasn't really upset anyone who's tired of the continued attempts to make the Hugos, being the science fiction award ceremony, and other parts of the science fiction literary fandom, a front for the right-wing culture wars.
No, we wanted to be a front for left-wing culture wars.
Exactly. What do you mean you're pushing back against our agendas? This is unfair.
I mean, I agree that you should be able to just not have to deal with this if you can, but I referenced Chris Raygun's video, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Exactly.
Like, no, it's you guys who turn up and insist this isn't intersectional enough, and then guess what? There's pushback.
I mean, not to invoke its dreaded name, but Gamergate was the big start of all of that sort of thing, where people noticed, oh, hey, there's lots of weirdos infiltrating our safe spaces. You could almost say our nerd spaces.
Non-political spaces.
Yeah, non-political spaces. Let's push them back. And they all just started reeing at them. So the complaint that Della Roz filed was against the parent company. If you go to the next one, File 770, they have an article sort of explaining a bit of it, where it's against the San Francisco Science Fiction Conventions Company. There were five causes of complaint. I don't know how American law system works, but they were violation of the UNRUH Act, which is discrimination against personal characteristics, because he liked to throw in the, like, why are you complaining about me? I'm Hispanic, you racist, bro. Violation of Civil Code Section 51.5, which is discrimination against political affiliation, because he's conservative, and then putting a few others, and then primarily defamation. And in 2019, four of the five causes were thrown out, and the case was allowed to continue on the charge of defamation, which a lot of people at the time were like, ha, he's going to lose because we've thrown out a bunch of them. But I think in a case like this, it is just a situation where they're just trying to put as many
forward as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Put a bunch forward, and whichever is the strongest will hopefully rise to the top. And if you skip to this next one, he won earlier this year.
Absolute Chad.
Absolutely. In June earlier this year, after a settlement agreement, the case is now over, and Worldcon were forced to post a public apology to their Facebook page and their website, and along with this, they were forced to pay $4,000 to Della Roz as reparations for potential damages done to his reputation.
I love what's the word reparations.
Yep. Well, I mean, he's a part of a minority. He's marginalized. The article here notes that left out of the settlement was Della Roz's generous offer to add himself as the diversity and inclusion officer to the organization for future conventions and events to ensure discrimination based on identity does not occur again. Which is excellent.
What a bad
excellent,
lad.
Excellent
I love
trolling.
That.
I do love it. I've listened to a few podcasts and other such things that he's appeared on, because he's spoken about what went down in the deposition, where this guy, the person representing the San Francisco Science Fiction Convention, who we can assume is Kevin Roche, the guy who he was speaking to, who was organizing the whole thing, was an incredibly pale white man with a bright pink mohawk, who he's described as British pale, which I'll forgive him for. It's true, though.
Should I be insulted or not? I don't know.
the guy comes across as very petty by the sounds of it, because in the deposition, when the lawyers were asking him questions, he just started to go off on big intersectional rants about what white supremacy is. I can only imagine being the judge in that situation, listening to this bright pink mohawk guy just going off on one. But yeah, he says that seeing as De La Rosa himself is Hispanic, his lawyer spoke to the guy and was like, well, you do understand that, right? Yes. Does that mean he's marginalized? Yes. But he still has white privilege because, of course, he is white passing.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Although that doesn't matter either. Because I remember the CNN article on Larry Elder. I mean, Larry Elder is a white supremacist as well.
He's the black face of white supremacy, don't you know?
Oh, sorry, that was the Los Angeles Times. But CNN argued, in a world where there are no white people in America, there is still white supremacy by the Hispanics.
This is all the sort of Foucaultian, like, intersectional power grid where you can have marginalization of particular communities without anyone individually having those sorts of opinions. You know,
but also that he's not white until he's an enemy, therefore he's white.
Exactly. But then, as part of the deposition, he basically just said to him, like, had he posted anything on his blog other than Donald Trump quotes and support for his conservative viewpoint that would make you believe that he is racist in any way? And he took a moment to think and he just said, no. So, congratulations. You've just lost the case. And after that, it was they went for the settlement. And just to put the pin on how out of money and failing and struggling these sorts of conventions and fandoms and other such things are. This is a big organization, you would assume, being able to hold conventions. But he said, first they asked for $100,000 for the defamation. No, we don't have that much. Okay. $50,000 for what you've said about me. No, we don't have that much either. Okay. $25,000. No, don't have that either. So fine. $4,000 and the apology and I'll settle it. So these people are just broke. These people are broke and the comics industry is not helping with that. So sadly, you can fight back against these people defaming you, but the comics industry as it stands in the West and the sci-fi industry is infected.
I know it literally isn't worth suing because they don't have the money.
Basically. I mean, he mainly did it so that he could get, you know, his good name back, so to speak. But
glory to him for doing it.
Yes, absolutely. Chad move right there. But yes, that's about...
Fantastic. I love where he's just like, call me a racist. All right, we're going to court. I mean, seriously, though, if you've got the money and the means to do it, that is the thing to do because these accusations are serious in our Western civilization. Therefore, if you're going to accuse someone of it, you better have the damn evidence.
And if they're legit, unlike someone like, say, Aquila, potentially, against...
We'll leave that there. Anyway, so moving on, let's go to Indigenous Peoples Day because
God bless.
Columbus is a bad man, so... We have to have Indigenous Peoples Day to rally against him or something. I do love that this was also sharing shelf space with a lot of other days because there aren't enough days in the year for different causes, are there? So as you can see here, Boris Johnson celebrating Day of the Girl. I don't know.
That sounds like a cult. Is that the doomsday?
With the fist there at the end as well. I love how Twitter gives things symbols now, so you know if they're officially approved by the leftist cathedral.
I'm sorry, Day of the Girl sounds like a gigantic female fist is going to descend from the sky.
Or like it's the day that women just start murdering men in the streets or something. Like Day of the Rope.
The literally. Radical feminist... what day that they've been looking for, really.
Actually, I won't go into that because YouTube might not like me talking about the Day of the X. But anyway, Day of the Girl is the feminist version of that. And as you can see here, it's sharing shelf space with that one. And if we go to the next one, it's also sharing space with National Coming Out Day. You coming out today? No, it was yesterday, so don't do it. All right.
You have to wrap around to next year now.
Yeah, so the other Build Back Better chap, Biden, condemns anti-LGBTQ+ legislation on National Coming Out Day, in which he said that we must uphold alphabetism. Anyway, so if we go to the next one, we have Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, who's incredibly excited to be woke whenever he can. So this is Indigenous Peoples Day. We recognize that many native communities whose rich histories and cultures should be celebrated and honored. I agree. I agree entirely.
Yes.
Indigenous people should be celebrated in their entirety. All Indigenous people. All 6 billion of them. Because everyone's Indigenous.
To somewhere.
You don't just have to wear a grass skirt to be an Indigenous person to a place, culture, or nation. So we go to the next one. I thought we'd just celebrate the Indigenous culture of the United States. So the Indigenous people, in 1776, in Philadelphia, the Second Continental Congress declared war of independence in the colonies as the United States, led by General George Washington, and it won the Revolutionary War. Celebrate these Indigenous people. Because they are. The word indigenous applies to Americans living in America. And how can it not?
I mean, they founded the country.
Yes.
America wouldn't be America without them.
Mm. So if we go to the next one, yeah, I think there should have been this is Carl celebrating Indigenous Day as well. So, of course, it's not just people in skirts, because the English are also indigenous to England. Where else could they have come from? Not France. Anyway, so there's that. So if
that's
we also
a
go...
factual picture right there.
Yeah.
That's how we cleared it.
That's how we did that thing. Anyway, so we get the next one. We have the definition of indigenous for people who may doubt this for some reason. But also they say here, Google, originating or occurring naturally in a particular place, native. So being not of the place, sorry, not from the place, but of the place. So it's not enough to be born in Russia to be Russian. You have to be of Russia to be Russian. And therefore you are indigenous to Russia. Or you could be indigenous to England or Somalia or Siberia or America. Because the Americans, I don't know why they let this slide, but they are indigenous to the United States. And you cannot say they are of anywhere else, because when they go anywhere else, we sort of stare at them and think, what the hell are they doing
here? From what I've seen, it just appears to be the overwhelming white guilt of it all, sadly. Sadly, they can't accept that that's where they're from, so they have a right to it, or at least some of them.
But also, I am somewhat disappointed in the, let's say, right-wing Americans. So they really should just bring up this defense more often. I am indigenous. Yeah. I'm indigenous to the United States. Where the hell else am I from? That should be their argument. Anyway, but of course, this has nothing to do with celebrating people. It's about hating people, specifically Christopher Columbus and the horrible, horrible things he has done to the world by discovering the New World. So you can see someone here as an example, Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, fellow natives, and then some lady flipping off the camera saying F Christopher Columbus, because why? Do they care about the bad things he did in Hispaniola? No. Couldn't give less of a toss. So if we go to the next one, we can go through some of the leftist responses to this. So as an example, Joy Reid, the lady who is spending her entire adult life defending critical race theory for...
without knowing anything about it.
No, which is rather embarrassing. But also you see here, Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, Black Fist. Because of course this, I don't know, presumably has to do with some kind of worldwide international blackery, which includes all people of color, as they would say.
Well, they're all the same.
That's the leftist opinion, which is that anyone who does not have Northern European skin is in some kind of club together, because of course. If we go to the next one, we have AOC. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Talking about this. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, said Cortez. Taking today to reflect on our Taino and Arawak ancestors, Cortez said. I mean, I would have thought of all the people in the shut your mouth on this one, but okay. No, Cortez is here to celebrate the indigenous people of America, except the ones that she doesn't like the Americans.
Yes.
Instead, she only cares for the Indians, as they like to call themselves, and have been called for years, and should be called, at least according to CGP Grey's video, which I would recommend on this topic. So I'll take his word for it, and I live in the States. Anyway, so if we move on from this, there was some protesting on this day, because of course there was. So this is the political event that took place. So as you can see, the Independent reporting here, expect us, indigenous activists lead Washington, D.C. protests to demand Biden declare climate emergency. Why? I mean, two things that could be different things, but aren't, because reasons.
I mean, wasn't this part of the Green New Deal that Cortez herself was putting forward, that they were going to like help natives and indigenous people and stuff like that? How's that going to help?
I don't think Black Mountain or whatever it is at any risk of flooding. But
yeah,
there's also, I just love the idea of like Cortez and some native holding hands walking together.
See, if we have native people driving the cars, then they won't pollute as much somehow.
Okay.
It's like applying a filter.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not going to get into the Green New Deal here, but that's what they said they were going to do. What did they really do? Well, we have the Mail reporting the information which leftists won't want to report. So we got the next one here. We can see indigenous and left-wing climate protesters swarm the White House and deface an Andrew Jackson statue with graffiti. So if we scroll down, we can see the Andrew Jackson statue, which has got someone spray painting Expect Us on it, because I don't really get what that's a reference to, but okay. That just
feels more like a threat.
Yeah. I don't know what else it could be. But also the fact that if we're talking about indigenous people, Andrew Jackson, also an indigenous person. He is indigenous to the United States. He is an American. He cannot have come from anywhere else. He's not German. I love how a lot of, let's say, European Americans love to talk about, oh, I have German ancestry, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
In the same way, some African Americans will say Nigeria, blah, blah, blah. But no, No, you're Americans, you're indigenous to America, you are not of anywhere else. And that's why you are seen as different to when you come to these places. Anyway, so if we got that, and then if we move on, I want to see some of the right-wing responses, because we had the left-wing responses. And there are various defenses of Christopher Columbus and celebrating Mr. Columbus. So this one from some guy saying, if Columbus doesn't deserve a holiday, then why would indigenous peoples who committed so many more and worse atrocities than he did deserve a day? It's an argument you could make. I don't know. I mean, the indigenous people also includes the Americans. So, yeah if you want to throw in the atrocities in somewhere. But yeah, they're not very convincing in my thing. But I saw Ted Cruz also gave a defense of this, in which he's saying, in honor of Christopher Columbus Day, he gives you Reagan's speech about Christopher Columbus. And it really does harken back to a different era. So I thought we'd go through just a little bit of it, because I find it interesting that, you know, reading stuff from, like, that era is almost like going in a time machine to a different world at this point.
It's less than 40 years ago still at this point, 86 as well.
Yeah, but he's not denouncing Christopher Columbus left, right, and center because he did bad things. And it's like, that's not the point of these celebrations. It's the point of him finding the new world, the achievements of the man, not the, oh yeah, he did slavery and some killing. It's like, oh, a lot of killing. I'm just like, yeah, that's history for you.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to the presidential speech on this. So I thought we'd just enjoy. So, Ronald Reagan speaking here. I don't know how to do his accent, so I won't. Each year, we are privileged to honor Christopher Columbus, whose epic voyages of discovery shaped the development of the Western Hemisphere. This great explorer won a place in history and in the hearts of all Americans because he challenged the unknown and thereby found the New World. Straight to the point.
Yep.
That's why he celebrated. Couldn't give a toss about the bad things he did, because that's not really important to relation to the story. I mean, especially with the United States, you know, he didn't go to 13 colonies. That's not really the point. I mean, you remember as well, like, before there was Lady Liberty, there was Columbia, I think her name was, like, the symbol of America. So you may recognize that Manifest Destiny picture with, like, this angel woman.
Yeah, I think across. I probably have seen that somewhere down the line.
She's meant to be Columbia or whatever her name was, for example. And that's the you know, the story of Columbus and all the rest of it is discovery of the unknown, not that he did bad things. Okay,
and everyone did bad things in history.
Yeah. But that's not a reason to venerate him. But, the Americans don't treat him like he's Muhammad in Islam. You know, he's not the perfect man who we must live to aspire to live like every day, and therefore going off conquesting in Haiti or something. So it's not happening. It's just this guy has discovered the new world, and he did it. So Reagan continues, Americans of Italian descent are proud to say that Columbus, a son of Genoa, was the first of many Italians to come to America, and a powerful reason the United States and Italy share a unique friendship that they do. Those of Spanish descent likewise point out that Spain made Columbus's voyages possible, and that he is the first link in the friendship between the United States and Spain. All Americans share in this just pride. I mean, again, the language is what I'm trying to get at here. It's just the unashamed celebration. Not even a hint of someone might disapprove of this, because who cares what some fringe weirdos think? But now that's the mainstream Democratic voice.
It's sad to see that it's all just gone.
Yeah, I also do find the idea that that's the beginning of the friendship between the United States and Spain quite funny. I mean, Spanish-American War, all the rest of it, but all right. So he continues, Now, therefore, I, Ronald Reagan, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim Monday, October 13th, 1986, as Columbus Day. I invite the people of this nation to observe the day with appropriate ceremonies in honor of that great explorer. I also direct that the flag of the United States be displayed in all public buildings and appointed a day of honor to Christopher Columbus. I love the unashamed, like, abashedness. I'm a patriot, get lost.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not old enough for Reagan, but it really does look like some kind of golden era. Anyway, but that's the right wing takes on it, let's say, in which it's just like, nah, great explorer, get stuffed. Or it's, yeah, he committed some crimes. Yeah, and what? Because everyone commits crimes in history.
Yeah,
that's not what's important about them. But the most based takes come from people who hate Columbus. So these activists and people like them who support them, who went out to say that this is the worst crime that's ever faced humanity, which is celebrating the discovery of the New World, they have the most base takes. And let's go through it. First one here. So for people listening, there's an image on the left of a statue of Columbus covered in red paint with "Stop celebrating genocide." And if we go to the right image, it's a child holding a sign saying, "The most dangerous immigrants arrived in 1492. Very based. Just immigrants are dangerous, are they? I'm glad we agree. There are certain levels of danger. And also, if there is mass immigration of immigrants, that's genocide, is it? Right. Okay. Anyway, let's go to the next one, because this is probably the most based of base takes I have seen, which is that Columbus was an Islamophobe. Los Angeles Times here, again, the ones who accused Larry Elder of being a white supremacist, but whatever. So, op-ed, Columbus' fear of Islam, rooted in Europe's crusades, shaped his view of Native Americans. So, he treated them as Muslims, and he's fearful of Islam, and therefore that's what he did, right?
Okay.
So, in here they say, one of the most crucial aspects of his biography is missing. A primary force behind Columbus's Atlantic crossings was a fear and hatred of Islam. I mean, the revamping of history. There was like, yeah, the reason he did it, he just hated Muslims so much. He wanted to go find more. Like, he'd had enough of hating Muslims in Europe and the Middle East, and he was like, I just gotta go find some new continent to find some Muslims.
Yep.
Right. Sure. Okay. And they say, this shapes how white Europeans engaged with the New World and its native peoples for centuries, and how today's Americans understand the world. Again, as if, like, I love how there's this, the worldview is, of course, that there are white people and then there are non-white people. These are the two mm-hmm. camps, and that's how the entire world works. There's two, there's the devil and then the heroic victim.
Yep.
And the white people, they hate Muslims, are also in the brown camp for some reason, and also the natives people, and they're going to like make this link more connect.
Yep.
But be like, yes, they treated like Muslims.
Right. The need to force that in.
Yeah. It should influence how we think about the second Monday in October, whether you call it Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, or Italian Heritage Month. Sorry, Italian Heritage Day. And I was like, okay, so there's another day to be act on there of different things. Yeah. So Columbus was born in Europe's anti-Islamic mindset in 1451. Right, stop you there. Any reason for that? Any reason? He just born, everyone there just hated Muslims, no reason
just
whatsoever.
Part of the genetics, don't you know?
Yeah. Can't think of any reason whatsoever Europe might be in a bit of a frenzy of being anti-Muslim. Has nothing to do with North Africa being Islamic when it didn't always, or the Middle East, or Turkey, or Spain, or Southern... I mean, we could go on.
Yep.
Anyway... So he's raised in the anti-Islamic mindset. What a bigot. Raised on the tales of crusades and the territorial losses of his homeland of Genoa, suffered after the Ottoman Empire's capture of Constantinople in 1453. Yeah, I mean, there's the evidence, if you needed it, for why. So as a teenager, he took to the Mediterranean as a sailor's apprentice. Some of his first maritime voyages brought him face-to-face with the awesome power of the Ottomans in the Aegean and other Muslim states in North Africa. He later sailed down the coast of West Africa, where the region's powerful Muslim kingdoms impressed upon him that Islam was everywhere, surrounding Christendom. It was.
I mean, where's the lie?
I mean, everything there is true. I mean, these places weren't all Islamic once upon a time, and now they are.
This isn't really establishing that he was Islamophobic for no reason.
But it's also the point of, like, yeah, this guy's bad. Why? Because he's a foreign conqueror of native peoples.
Why did he leave?
What happened in Europe?
Yes.
Well, there were these foreign conquerors who were colonizing all of North Africa, Spain, Turkey, kicking out Constantinople, and it's almost like this is looking more and more like a thing of the time. Anyway, when Columbus returned to Europe, he joined Spain's fight against the Muslims in the south of the Iberian Peninsula 6 months before he set off across the Atlantic. Again, so, I mean, I didn't know this, but I find that amazing. He was literally a man fighting for the indigenous people of Spain against the foreign colonizers of Arabia.
I mean, they should be celebrating him even harder over in America, surely.
He's literally the hero you're looking for at the same time as the villain, which is one hell of a thing. Anyway, so when Columbus arrived in the Caribbean, he saw Islam there too, where it so very clearly did not exist. And I mean, they've got a point on this, which is absurd. So for example, he called the weapons of the indigenous Tanos Alfanyas, a Spanish word derived from Arabic for the curved metal scimitars that Muslims used to use, which... Yeah.
Fair.
I mean, if they had...
If it's what he associated it with.
I mean, if it looked like a scimitar. Later, he first saw the scarves of a group of indigenous women. He thought they more related through trade or some other form of Eurasian contract when to what termed Moorish sashes. So he considered the scarves they were wearing to be Moorish sashes and assumed they had some kind of contact with the Moors or something, which... But then it's really just him making a comparison. It's not him being like, yeah, these guys are Muslims. It's not happening. Anyway, so a couple of decades after Columbus, Hernan Cortez too wrote that the Aztecs of Mexico wore Moorish robes and the Aztec women looked like Moorish women. presumably because they're not as white as Spaniards, but then again, Spaniards aren't white either, so... He claims to see more than 400 mosques in the territory he conquered 500 years ago, which today he would call Mexico, and refer to the leader, Montezuma, as Sultan. Again, doesn't really prove that he's seeing them as Islam, just that he's making a comparison, but whatever. You have to think of these poor indigenous people as essentially part of the global ummah of being brown-skinned. Oh yeah, the comparisons are strange. So for all their lives, these men learned that Muslims were their foremost enemies. In their mind, an enemy conjured up the image of a non-white Muslim. And again, Italians, Spaniards, also non-white in modern worldview, so don't know how that fits in. But I love that, which is just that he's trying to, the author here, gin up support for the idea that the natives were also somehow also oppressed by Islamophobes. It's like, I think we could probably just do with what they did enough. But again, it has nothing to do with anything here. It's just the point of trying to crush Columbus Day because it's, Columbus man bad.
There's not much point to this other than just hammering home that you should hate this.
Yeah, which is not why anyone remembers Columbus. They're not like, yeah, Columbus, base, because he took slaves in Hispaniola. No, it's because he discovered the New World. That's his achievement.
Yep.
That's the point in the man.
It also pushes, seeing as it seems that he knew quite a lot about Islam in his time, is pushing the, unintentionally, presumably, the idea, the more you know about Islam, the more Islamophobic you'll inevitably end up becoming.
It's just like, wait for the clock to tick and the person saying that, and it's like, not going to happen. But anyway, yeah, so Columbus, also an Islamophobe. That's another reason he's a bad man, and why he should never be celebrated regardless of his achievement there. But again, the march of trying to destroy values of the West continues. Let's move to the video comments.
My original plan leaving high school was to become an electrical engineer. However, my mom convinced me to get a trade to fall back on, and so I became an electrician. And I enjoyed the apprenticeship so much that after 5 years of apprenticeship and another 5 or 6 years of being a journeyman, I'm still at it. And I own my own house now. I've been fixing it up a little bit at a time with my dad over the summers for the past few years, and I think it's starting to look pretty darn good at this point.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Fantastic. Good on you, mate.
I'm loving the engineering pride. Sorry, the electrician pride in all of this. I love the engineering pride there as well.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
House is looking good.
Yeah. Go to the next one.
If this is too many steps for you, there is a simpler way to become an electrician. Just saying. Worked well for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably more. Well, actually.
Keep you in shape as well.
I'd love to be supportive of the British Army, but there's so many leaks we get out of them at this point that make me just want to give up on the entire organization.
Which ones?
So we get leaks from the best one actually is from the RAF, which is some guy in the RAF. I think he was an officer. He was sent a document for their new inclusion and diversity policy, and it was, here's 12 new pronouns you need to learn for total inclusivity.
This will help uniformity between everybody if we just separate everything.
But also the phrase they use is total inclusivity is non-negotiable, which sort of sounds like something Kim Il-sung would say or something. Yeah. But it's also like the pronouns in there. It wasn't just like, let's say, mainstream arguments of you must learn the right pronouns for the transgender comrades who are in the army with you. It was like they included zer, per, and her, or whatever the hell you pronounce that with an X, as things that the RAF needed to learn to be a more inclusive society. And it's just like,
And these are, I mean, mentioning Peterson earlier, these are specifically the ones that he was like, no, I'm not going to use them. They're made up.
They're not even just made up, because all pronouns are made up, but just artificially insane.
Yes.
Like, it's almost like the person demanding you use it is just mocking you, which you could argue at many a time is also the case.
It does feel that way.
Labour conference. Let's go to the next one.
In case you needed any more evidence that the left doesn't want anyone but the state educating your children... In the most recent debate between Ben Shapiro and Anna Kasparian, Anna Kasparian was very unapologetically in favor of banning all private education. Yes, you heard that. Banning all private education. So to the Lotus Eaters out there that either are or want to become teachers, I say keep doing what you're doing. You are on the front lines of this nonsense, and it is very important that you don't let the education system get completely subverted as much as it already is.
Well, I endorse that message.
Absolutely.
Did you see the Anna Kasparian and Ben Shapiro debate?
I still need to watch it. I'm aware that it happened. I mean, that whole thing of abolishing private schools, I know that when I have kids, I want to be sending them to a private school in all likelihood if I can afford it, because I see everything that goes on in the public schools.
It was just amazing to watch. You really should, and I recommend everyone else give it a watch if you can find it. Because I don't know why she agreed to it, because of course she's going to get BTFO'd, but it sort of turned into like a dad talking to a child at some points.
I mean, Anna Kasparian does not strike me as someone with a wealth of practical or empirical knowledge behind her.
She also came off as someone who's never read an opposing view.
Oh, yeah.
So like they got to the point where they were discussing what freedom means, and of course she gave this weird leftist definition in which freedom means to be free from anything ever oppressing you, and oppression can be as mild as not having access to things that you have to pay for. So she was like, yeah, I demand free healthcare, free housing, you know, stock rhetoric of what leftists consider freedom.
Freedom means me getting my way.
Yeah, and Ben Shapiro is just like very calmly explaining to her, like, no, that's not what that means by definition. Freedom is the things you are born with and are inalienable, can't be taken away from you. If it requires someone else's labor, it's not a freedom. And you can see her at the end, she starts to agree. It's just like, how have you never heard this? Like, I'm sorry, I mean, how many years has she been doing a political show? And she seemed to just know nothing about what the opposing views are.
Probably like, what, 10, 15 years at this point?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Jesus Christ.
Good God.
But I mean, maybe she's just not encountered it because she's so much better than all of us.
She doesn't have to do any reading or listening to anyone ever. But yeah, there are loads of amazing segments in there. I highly recommend that debate. Let's get the next one.
Greetings from the fascist state of Canada. I just wanted to follow up on my question. What do the Lotus Eaters think about natural law and anarchism or anarchy as defined by Marc Passio? And if you don't know who Marc Passio is, P-A-S-S-I-O, you should look up some of his YouTube videos, and he goes into detail about what natural law is and what anarchy is. And I just wonder what your opinions on that is. Thank you.
I don't have one at the moment. I'll make sure to write that down to ask Carl, because I imagine that was more directed at him.
Yeah.
But the first thing I get when Googling that is an 8-hour stream, so probably going to try and find something else, but it's just not a subject I'm familiar with, sorry.
Yeah, we'll have to pass that one on to Carl.
Yeah, I'm just copying down the link to the 8-hour stream as a reminder at least, and I'm going to send that to John so I have somewhere. Anyway, sorry mate, I wish I could answer, but I'm not familiar, so... Oh, I thought he was going to... Oh. Is it moving?
I don't know. I thought we'd been trolled.
Yeah. Did he get it? Oh, I assume he got it because he hit it. But that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Very Chad.
Carl Callum. So this is actually a gerbil, not a hamster. I'd actually recommend them over hamsters. They're friendlier than hamsters, tend to be smarter, and they're much cleaner than hamsters. They actually have very little, if any... smell to them. So they're a really fun pet. I'd highly recommend them. All right. Bye.
Knew it wasn't a hamster.
First of all, sorry, I'm not Carl. Second, that is true. I've had a gerbil before. They're great.
Carl yesterday was like, as a hamster. I was like, that doesn't look like a hamster to me. We used to have a couple of gerbils when I was a kid as well.
Yeah. Hamsters have very distinctive faces, and gerbils have a very different face.
Yeah. Like, I can't really... notice too much of a difference.
Fair play. Yet,
but he definitely wasn't a hamster. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, Lotus Eaters. Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines, Red Lion, New Jersey. Red Lion was named after the patriarch of the settlement, Mr. Parks, who killed a mountain lion, shot it, and then had to beat it to death to finish it off. He dragged the carcass back to the settlement, and thus Red Lion. It survived today by the Red Lion Diner and the Red Lion Inn that was built sometime around 1710.
That's pretty awesome.
Nice.
Does it have a pub is the first thing that comes to mind. Because I don't know if you've been to Brent before, but there's loads of Red Lion pubs everywhere because of course, England.
Everywhere.
Yeah, if I was looking for a business opportunity to set up a British pub in America, I mean, that'd be the place, wouldn't it?
Yes.
On the topic of personal pronouns, I wonder if anyone identifies with we, us pronouns, as if they're Gollum or something. Filthy little tafses. We hates them. Gollum. We want it for us. They will cheat you, hurt you, lie.
Okay, that was a bit too good.
Not a bad impression. A little bit creeped out.
Yeah. Well, we were discussing, so there was, I think it was a TikToker or something. They were arguing that if you have a personality as yourself and then another personality, which is like Jane or something, right?
Yeah.
And I magically change to Jane random times in the day, and that's my different gender, and therefore you should identify this as some kind of gender. And it's like, no, that's just multiple personality disorder or whatever, right?
Yeah, I've seen ones like that. I think it's the... It might have been the same one, the person who's like saying that, oh, I just walk around day to day and then all of a sudden, oh, it's binder time. It's like, no, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You should seek help.
But they were absolutely genuine about it. So, I mean, they could apply we, us pronouns to themselves. I mean, I should probably forward this to Titania McGrath. Some material right there.
Yep.
But yeah, it's only a matter of time. Let's get the next one.
Can't have women talking to one another. I have to do things and take responsibility for being a good wife. A man. That's going to be good, isn't it? You're not a very good wife, are you? You know, I'll make a great wife. You're a terrible wife, you know?
Don't let that Californian woman look at us.
This is awful.
Don't let Carl talk to you like that, Callum.
I'm not his wife. His wife's got that problem. Anyway, by the way, I hear you get some good book deals at cscooper.cs. Motherfucker! Use code Carl for a free JPG of a steak with your face on the next order.
Damn.
I'm always going to see this is where like every comment's going to turn into like shilling for cscooper.com.au, isn't it? Let's get the next one.
It's called a punt gun,
right?
And it used to be
Is this the elephant gun stuff?
No. It's
1 week later.
My dad had a gun that's so big, it's illegal in America. It's a punt gun.
That's a great story. I didn't know about that.
2 weeks later.
My dad had a gun that's so big.
You mentioned.
It's banned in America.
3 weeks later.
What's a punt gun?
4 to 6 weeks later.
No, I think I'll abstain from commenting at the moment, Tony.
Thank you and goodbye. That was fantastic. Yeah, Leo does talk about his punk gun a lot. Yeah. I do.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why I mean, fair you? Enough.
It's pretty cool.
I kind of do want to go see one in action now.
I want to know what a punt gun is.
It's like this huge, like, hand cannon almost. It just apparently kills, like, multiple animals at once. You can
nice. Harvest them. Yeah, you get a full barbecue sorted in a shot.
I'm sure there are some Americans in the chat who can probably get access to a punt gun. So if you do, please sign up and send us a video of it in action, because that'd be awesome.
This is going to be added to the next compilation.
Ah, crap it is, isn't it?
It is.
Anyway, that's that. So let's go to the written comments on the site. So on the issue of getting HIV for the good of diversity, Jay says, why are your conservatives allowing any non-governmental flag to fly on government property? It should be your national flag and maybe your local municipality. Well, you say that, but I don't know where you're from, mate, but the Americans on their embassies were flying the BLM flag around the world. And I don't just mean like some kind of fist or some bastardization of the American flag into BLM colors or whatever. They had like huge flags, like huge, that just had the words Black Lives Matter over them in the style of the organization.
And why not fly the ISIS flag at that point? They're both anti-American.
I mean, yes. So,
I mean, realistically.
God, could you imagine? It's just like, yeah, so we also hate America, so we're flying all the flags that hate America, and it's just like a big row. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not just us that have this problem. I don't know what the hell is wrong with the conservatives sometimes, but hey, that's what the video was about. So go and watch the direct video about political parties explained, which is maybe why what's wrong with them. Anyway, Colin says, when donating blood, they ask if you're a man who has sex with a man for a reason. Gay virgins can donate, no problem. It's not discrimination. Absolutely true. This is just a fact of biological reality of these things. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Anyone who thinks there is and then wants to change the laws because of equality is a moron. Sajid. Jay says again, we successfully rigged the system to destroy men's educational achievement, so now we need to get rid of the system that help those who are underachieving so men can't benefit from them. Why do we even want to save civilization? It's a good question sometimes. And this isn't the only domain that's happened either with the Japanese.
Yep.
I mean, you know, as I mentioned, Trevor Phillips' response to, well, did you know that white boys are underperforming in school, Trevor, after you worked with Tony Blair and instituted all this stuff? Oh, don't worry, I've got the solution, says Trevor. More discrimination. Yep. But I mean, this time in favor of the white boys.
It's the, I think Thomas Sowell talks about it, where a government program won't get the intended result, and they'll go, is it a problem with the intended, with the program? No, there's just not enough of it.
Yeah,
we need more of
just
it.
Just need to reform the program a bit.
No, not even reform, just put more and more on. Keep funding it. It's like the NHS at the moment, where it's like, well, it's underperforming. It can't be anything to do with us funding all of these bad parts of it. We just need more and more money.
I mean, constantly. There are other people who worked in the equality department who have even weirder responses to the question of why white men are underperforming. I use Trevor Phillips just because he's largely reasonable. I don't know if you're familiar with his work.
No.
He very much like gets the nub of the issues. He produced a documentary called Things About Race That We Can't Say, and holy crap, he did not hold bars. Like, he talked about everyone and the various differences and stereotypes and what's true about them and what's not.
Just getting the truth out there, fair play.
Yeah, but when it came to the issue of white boys underperforming, he just, for some reason, defaults to his position as a leftist, which is, so discrimination based on race, that'll solve it.
I mean, British politicians in general seem to have a serious lack of spine between them.
He used to work in the equality department. He wasn't a politician, he just worked for...
Sorry.
But anyway, I'd recommend the documentary. So Free Will says, the Conservative Party, apart from a small group of MPs, is not a conservative as their members. They know this and go to great lengths to keep real policy making power in the inner circle. That's exactly what my point was about the video, actually. Every now and then, they will throw the supporters a political bone to whet their appetite. And if this does not work, they roll out the fear of socialist Labour, which they know is a real concern, especially when the Corbyn faction led Labour. In reality, the Conservatives are politically much more in line with the Clinton-esque Democrat Party, hence the adoption of critical race theory. As for Labour, their membership is so left-wing that Starmer has a tiger by the tail. I assume that means like he's getting screwed over. Sorry, I don't...
I assume it means that he's trying to basically hold back the flood.
Yeah, you can see he's not in charge.
Yeah, he definitely is not. I mean, what was it? The conference, he was basically just getting heckled, wasn't he?
Yes, multiple times. I love that he started talking about his dead mum, and some person in the Labour conference was like, well, now was my time to shine, stood up and started heckling him. It was like, bro, like I've enjoyed the nonsense out of that whole thing, but heckling someone's dead mum is a bit like, come on. I know you're an anti-Semite, but have some standards at least.
Yeah.
Oh God. Anyway, but the point there about the trying to whet the appetite of the membership, the behavior shows that it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even a person who's irrationally hating the Conservative Party and wanting it to die, as I feel that rationally the Labour Party should, but the Conservative Party. Because that's the thing, like I don't have any love for any particular party because, politics is what it is. But the fact that it's the major party, I have a point for just being like, could you just reform it for Christ's sake? But it doesn't seem to be happening, is it?
No.
Okay, that's my romanticism about parties coming up, like Carl's. Anyway, so moving on. So on the comics question, Shaker Silver says, it's horrible what they did to Superman's son long before this. Initially, it started out with him as a 10-year-old and some wholesome stories with Superman caring for his family while balancing his superhero identity. But then DC decided to just fast forward to his age at 17 and skip all his development. And now they're using him to support progressive as a progressive puppet.
And that's just pretty typical in comic books in general at the moment over here, just because of the fact that people, they don't want to actually tell the stories, they just want to push their agenda. So if it's inconvenient that he's 10 years old, well, we can't really, I mean, they probably could have, if they'd kept him 10 years old, I'd imagine they'd be pushing sort of like minors transitioning or something like that. But at the time, well, we want to make him gay, so can't have him be a gay 10-year-old, 17.
We'll make him legal so people don't call us pedos.
Yes, exactly.
I can believe that. I can believe that was a discussion they had in the boardroom. Callum says, and people are wondering why anime is so much more popular. Well, one good look at Western comics, then I look, anime and manga.
Yeah, and I say this as somebody who's only really experienced a few anime and manga. I'm not exactly going to try and shill for anyone in particular, but even just all you need to do is just look at what's going on over here and just be like, no.
There's a contingent of the Gold Tier members who send in the video comments who have made this argument for a long time, so that's why I'm saying that. You'll have some agreement there. That doesn't mean I want to hear about it. Sorry,
I'm glad to stand by you all.
I'm not even like mad at manga or Japanese stuff or anything. I just don't care.
Well, it's the meme, isn't it? It's the meme of like degeneracy.
It's not even
There's some truth in it.
It's not even that for me. It's not for me. Anyway, Angel Brain says, the biggest problem I have with bisexual Superman is that he's already the son of an alien with godlike powers. And somehow that's not interesting enough. I think they need to take a crack at the Xenomorphs. Their lack of diversity is shocking.
Actually, the Xenomorphs are all black, so 100% diverse.
That's a good response.
It's true. But yeah, that's the other thing. Is like, who cracks open a comic book? I know there's lots of it in comics, but who cracks open a comic book so that they can enjoy the interpersonal relationships? No. You want to read about Superman saving the world from some intergalactic threat or something. I don't want to go like, oh, who's he sleeping with this week? Like, yeah, well, not, I don't.
It's not soap, but...
And I think the sales are showing that most people don't as well.
Yeah. So Chango98 says, read The Death of Comics. Don't forget that when given the keys to Captain America, professional race baiter Ta-Nehisi Quartz caricatured Jordan Peterson as a magic Nazi Red Skull.
Yes, the Ta-Nehisi Coates. I had forgotten about that, so thank you very much for remembering me. Yeah, he obviously Red Skull is supposed to be a Nazi, and he had a book coming out called 10 Rules for Life in the comic books, and it had him as like this YouTube life advice guy, and they put actual Jordan Peterson analog quotes next to him, and it didn't make Jordan Peterson seem like a Nazi. It made the Red Skull come across very reasonable.
Yes. Red Skull just wanted to...
Well, he's just there like, you need to reclaim America. You know.
Where's the lie? Drew Doomhan says, I just can't get angry when progressives ruin things anymore. Go buy manga, go buy old comics, support new indie comics, let Marvel and DC die.
Couldn't agree more.
George says, comics is an ideologically possessed industry. They put the propaganda before the story, canon, and characters, which is why they fail. Manga also has tons of degeneracy, like yaoi, yuri, the alphabet people, he says, but they are a separate genre and they don't interfere with the hero comics for boys. Plus, the manga industry is highly competitive and they can't afford to have diversity hires. Thus, they have better art and writing.
Wasn't aware of the alphabet people being in manga, but that is true that there is just a greater diversity of genres within the medium as a whole, whereas most Western stuff outside of indie, you just get superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, we should have made the point more clear, actually, but it's not necessarily that, of course, that having a gay character or bi character is absurdist. No, it's when it's forced.
Yes,
it's when the person
absolutely
is gay for no reason, obviously. So I don't know those comics either, so I don't have any opinion. So Kevin Fox said they have to give the superheroes immutable characteristics that a weirdo crowd can relate to, because all of them, having been brought up glued to video game devices and as such have no imagination. Before we had 24-hour TV and games, consoles, kids used to use their imaginations and believed themselves to be a superhero. The latest generation need the superhero to be them or they don't get it.
I wouldn't agree entirely with the video games, because even with some video games you are stepping into the shoes of a character, but I would say that there is a certain lack of attention nowadays in younger generations.
My guess would be it has to do more with ideology than a lack of imagination from the generation, but
yeah.
Matthew Hammond says, why do people work at a place they hate? Comics, video games, and movies are being written by or written about by people that not only do not enjoy the content but despise the fans.
True.
Yeah. It's a weird job, isn't it?
Like, I don't buy my books. She literally just said, don't buy my books.
It happened with Ghostbusters as well. Where they were like, they couldn't be more angry at their own fans. And it was just like,
I mean, I think there as well, they said, like, if you're not into the feminist themes or whatever, don't go see the movie. And people's general response to that is just, okay.
Yeah. I what was the director? He was like, I don't want bigots
Paul,
watching my
Paul
movie.
Paul Feige, something like whatever. That. Yeah.
More. So a student of history says, there's a damn good reason why Demon Slayer outsold all of the Western comics. A, Demon Slayer is actually really good. B, Western media has gone down the progressive path and has come out horrendous and deserves another dark age till the crap is purged and it has a rebirth. But I imagine you agree.
I agree. I think the dark age at this point, given it's so infested, is just going to be that the company might just actually collapse. And just they'd both basically just be relying on the film series at this point.
Yeah. Making plenty of money. Anyway, so getting back to the Indigenous Day. I love the idea. Just describe yourself as Indigenous, right wingers of America. Stop letting them trample over you. So XYNZ, the Labour Party needs to learn to embrace and love the Aboriginals of the British Isles. Yes,
yeah.
They hate them. There was a great point made by Carl. There was a guy in the conference who was like, this people speaking, white men, don't represent the diversity of our party. So can I get less white men speaking? Yep. You know, I'm not anti-white man. My dad's a white man, but just less of them.
Yep.
Totally not anti-white,
just,
man.
Just spewing the ideology.
So we had the thought, I mean, if a person there just went up to the stage and was like, yeah, I'd like to check in, and they're like, but you're a white man. And you're like, no, I'm an Indigenous member of the Native Isles. What are they going to say?
And where's the lie?
Yeah. I'm a native. Anyway, so Chris Wolf says, the fact that the left is so focused on Columbus reveals their historical ignorance. The Spanish who did fund him were the villains. The atrocities of the 16th century Spanish are so awful that I get angry thinking about the history they destroyed. Yeah, what is it, like the books of the Aztecs or whatever? There's like, they had like a little library of a bunch of books, and they're gone. The Spanish just destroyed them all. There's like 3 pages left or something in existence that have been discovered.
Yeah, I've not read into it as of yet, but I am aware that the Spanish did some pretty bad things. To the Aztecs.
You can also see the difference between the treatment of the natives from the English colonies, French, all the rest of it, versus the Spanish. I mean, the Spanish being literally the worst people on the planet for this thing. I mean, sorry, Spanish bros, but the history shows what it is, and also doesn't produce good institutions, as is demonstrated by South America versus North American institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as. I'm sorry, but that's that. But that's not the point of Columbus. This is like, he committed atrocities. That's not why anyone talks about him.
He discovered the whole country.
Like, people aren't building statues to be like, yeah, man, slavery. Like, no, it's about the fact that he discovered America.
Yeah.
So Adam Clayton says, Indigenous Peoples Day should just be the day where we point out all the barbarism and atrocities committed by people like the Aztecs, as well as continual wearing of American Native American tribes. True. That all took place, and is still.
I think there's that Stone Toss comic where it's like the American and the Native goes, when are you leaving? And then he's got a spear. When are you leaving? And he's got an axe. When are you leaving?
Going all the way back to the Siberians who moved over.
Yep.
Yeah. Free Will says, given that Spain had been conquered by Islam by the 7th century and the Reconquista by the Christians had only just been completed before Columbus set sail, and in 1453 the Ottoman Empire conquered Constantinople and were beginning their expansion, perhaps he had a reason to be fearful of Muslims. Yeah, can't imagine what it was. I imagine the Islamic conquests of the world were all by the peace and not by the sword. Never ever has any Muslim conquest done anything wrong.
Purely diplomatic.
Yes. They just spoke to the people and were like, hey, would you like to join? Ah, that's right.
This land, this is ours now. Everyone just went, okay.
No massacres.
Yeah.
There's no instances of Muhammad himself turning up to a certain village and then murdering all of the Jewish males and then taking the king's wife as his own sex slave.
What a virtuous character.
Yeah. You know, there's also like, there's a list on Wikipedia of just, what is it? Murders issued by Muhammad himself. So just people he killed.
Yes.
Like, it's just a list of him, his killings, personally, not his other guys. And the best ones in there, they have like different categories for the type of killings. And there are killings for insulting him. And there's one that I just find really, really obscure, which is just that the list just says, reason for death. Mocked him through poetry. Some Jew mocked him through poetry. So Muhammad was like, execution.
So he just hated the bards.
Bards pissed him off, yeah.
Yep, fair.
Heathcliff Flowen says, as an Indigenous Englishman, I am celebrating Indigenous Day with a nice cup of tea. Quite right. Free Will says, the term white is now almost synonymous with evil / enemy when used by the ultra-left. It's true. Student of History says, the really funny thing about Indians calling for declaration of a climate disaster is A, the climate in the West is beautiful. Also B, Biden kind of effed over the Southwest tribes because they make a pretty penny from the petroleum industry, specifically fracking. Yeah, I can imagine they do. Although I did see there was a lot of, Indian protests against the pipeline, Keystone XL pipeline at the time, but I don't know who got paid out of that in the end. Yeah. I'm sure someone got paid. Benjamin Thirlwell says, UK Indigenous Peoples Day, drunk revelries ensue. Yeah, there's the traditional thing to do.
I mean, probably just continues.
Yeah. It's either that or like street picnics or something.
That'd be nice.
When's the last time you had a street picnic?
Not since the lockdown, certainly.
Did it when we were a kid, but I can't remember. It was like the Queen's Jubilee or something.
Yeah, I don't know if my family were ever involved in something. You know what? I feel like throwing one now.
Yeah, just why not?
That'd be nice. It'd be nice. Get to know the neighbours.
Should have done it for the end of COVID lockdown, at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if Carl
can throw one for us now.
Office street party outside the Lotus Eater's office. So honourable mentions, Lord Tolkien says, so not so much a Superman, but rather a Simperman. Simping.
On the money right there.
Student of History also, is that the same guy? Oh no, Student of History again says, if you don't have AIDS, you're just expressing your straight white privilege and being a hateful bigot, progs in a year.
Well, they won't be around for that long at least. Mm.
I also love how it's not just Sub-Saharan Africa that has a problem with these things. Like, you can point to the problem in Russia and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's just the risk versus reward. So it's a warning for all the guys visiting Russia. There's a, what is it, a 1 in 100 chance that she's got HIV. So wear protection.
Yep.
George Winsor says, re-gaying comics. Gaying of the comics. So comics have been a political platform from the beginning, I would think. Cover over the first issue of Captain America in the 40s and 30s had him punching Hitler in the face. Yeah. Why are we angry about this now? Because it's the other side using them, question mark. Then make your own. This is actually one of the few arenas where go do your own thing can actually be applied. I wouldn't agree.
I would say we do have, like I mentioned, Comicsgate doing that, but also there's a difference. I mean, for one, we were in the middle, well, America was in the middle of the war, or well, actually, no, it came before, but it was to try and encourage, like, Americans not to like Hitler or something like that. But I'd say there's a difference between using political themes in your work and just overtly pushing political agendas.
I don't think it's even that. So the point there is, I think, not that there are political themes in comics.
Yeah.
As he points out, there always have been. I absolutely agree with the chap. But the idea that, so this character is Captain America. So what does he stand for? I mean,
punching Nazis in the face.
No, he stands for American values.
Well, yeah.
Which is going to include opposing Nazi values.
I mean actual Nazis, obviously not the leftist.
Yeah, yeah. But the point being that this guy stands for American values, individual liberty, justice, blah, yes. blah, 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 all along those lines. Not social justice. Social justice is not an American value, it is a German value.
Mm-hmm.
And German philosophy producing it, which then gets spread around the world, which is why he's also anti-Soviet and all the rest of it. But, yeah. That's why turning around and being like, yeah, so this guy actually stands for socialist values is absurdist and is the progressive skin suit.
Yeah.
That would be my response.
Agree with you there.
I wonder what the chat makes. But so Stuart Beresford says, who cares much about how much money you get? Sue them until they're broken. You'll have effectively purged the infection.
Fair.
Yeah. I went to the Battle of Ideas events on Saturday and Harry Miller was there, the cop who got...
fair cop.
Yeah, the guy who got checked for his thinking. And he said his one regret in all of his activism is that when he got checked for his thinking, when he sued them, he didn't sue them for money. And he's like, I should have sued him for everything. Not just because he wanted the money, he did, but also because it has to cost them something.
Yes.
If it doesn't cost them something, they'll just carry on. And yeah, so if you do end up suing for stuff, take the cash because it should cost them. Anyway, we're out of time, so if you want more from us, go to lotuseaters.com. Do go and check out the premium stuff, as I mentioned. Also, the free direct video that I've done. Give me your thoughts on whether or not I'm making any sense. And otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.